Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This is the text. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I love this portion of John's revelation that we heard in our epistle lesson. The utter and complete joy of the multitude gathered around the Lamb, the risen Christ. They have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have departed the sinfulness, the difficulty, the tribulation of this life, and have entered the eternal joy and glory that was promised to them as they are in the presence of God in heaven. That is Easter joy in the fullest sense. And oh, how we look forward to that. We are told, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That is Easter joy. And we look longingly into our future and knowing that there will come a time, unless the Lord returns first, that we will depart this valley of the shadow of death, this place of great tribulation. And as we look to that day, as we journey together as the people of God, we do so never forgetting that we are Easter people. It's not something we're waiting around for. We are Easter people right now. We have been washed clean in the waters of baptism, with the water joined with the Word of God. We participate in the blood of the Lamb right now. We gather around the Lamb. The risen Christ presents himself in flesh and blood. And we sing praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Just like the saints in heaven. What we have right here, this is also Easter joy. It's not something we have to wait around to get to heaven before we start enjoying the blessings that God has bestowed on us. The joy that we have in the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. The life we have in baptism. It's meant to be for right now. Because we need all of those blessings right now. And it is here that we have a deep and abiding connection with those saints in heaven. Like them, we are privileged to be in the physical presence of Christ as he comes to us under the form of bread and wine. And he says, "This is my body. This is my blood." And that multitude standing before the Lamb wearing those white robes, or the earlier description of them in Revelation chapter 4, those standing with their white robes around the throne of heaven, they aren't described any differently than the saints on earth are described in Revelation chapter 3, in the letters to the churches of Sardis and Laodicea. They also are wearing white robes. The church triumphant, the church in heaven, is not so far away from Christ's church on earth. It's not way up there in the heavens off in a distance somewhere. We gather, as we proclaim each time that we come together, that we are here with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven gathered around the flesh and blood of the risen Christ. The main difference that Christ's church on earth, the difference between us and the church in heaven, is that we still struggle with sin. Christ's church on earth is full of sinners. The old Adam is still hanging on. If you ask any of our confirmands about the seriousness of our original sin, of our sinful condition, they will tell you, as it says in the catechism, this is something that was part of their necessary memory work, is that, you know, it is the total corruption of our human nature passed down from Adam through our parents. The total corruption. There is nothing good in us from the start. We need the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Christ brings here and now. We hear Jesus' words to the saints in the churches of Sardis and Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3. The Lord says, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." I know what you're thinking. If this is true of the Christians in Sardis and Laodicea, how can I say that the saints in heaven are described in the same way as the saints in those churches are described? Well, I can say this because the saints in heaven, they have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, not in their own works. And Jesus says to the church in Sardis, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And by my works, I am dead. By your works, you are dead. We are made alive in Christ, in the blood of the Lamb. And through baptism, we have been made alive. There has been this dying and rising. I'm not the only one this morning as we gather together wearing a white robe. In the sight of God, you are wearing a robe that is much more righteous than this one. And you have been wearing it since your baptism." This is not about living some sort of transformed life, as so many want to make life in the church to be, as if your righteousness is a measure of what you do. It's a gathering together or a categorizing of all the good things that you do, and if you pile enough up, you can be considered righteous. Jesus says, "I know your works." This is about being transformed out of death and into life. This is the work of Christ in you. The joy of Easter is that there is life where there was once no life. The joy of your baptism is that there is life where there was once no life. The saints on earth, like the saints in heaven, stand before God wrapped in robes of righteousness, but it is not our righteousness. He knows our works. The only righteousness we can attain is in the blood of the Lamb, just like the saints in heaven. And we hear those words, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more." And it is said that the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. And during his ministry, Jesus tells his followers, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, I know if you study Martin Luther, there was a dispute about whether or not John 6 is a reference to the sacrament. But if it isn't, it certainly is pointing towards a future reality. I don't know how you can get around that. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. During his ministry, Jesus spent most of his time preparing his disciples for life after the ascension. He's always leaving the crowds and going to remote places. This is clearly not the modern church growth model. His main concern was teaching the disciples, educating them, because they needed to be prepared to proclaim the message of the gospel that there is a crucified and risen Savior. There is the final Lamb of sacrifice who is also our Good Shepherd. And Jesus prepares his 12 disciples for the days when he would no longer stand before them in flesh and blood, yet he would be able to come to all of his disciples in flesh and blood. This is Easter joy. The risen Christ is among us, as he promised. And in Christ we do not hunger. He has given us bread from heaven, which is his flesh. And we do not thirst. We are filled and we are satisfied. At the Lamb, or as the Lamb there in the center of the throne, amid all the saints in heaven, he is the Good Shepherd. And the Lamb that is in the center of the saints on earth, as Christ is the focus of the church, he is our Good Shepherd. And he leads us beside the still waters. Our cup overflows, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the promise of Easter. And although we still walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God has wiped away every tear from our eyes, and he has replaced the sorrow and the pain of this difficult life full of tribulation. He has replaced that with the joy of Easter. We gather together this day, during this season, and really throughout the year, because every Sunday is a celebration of Easter. And we gather together as saints around the Lamb, participating in the flesh and blood of Christ, and we boldly proclaim that we are Easter people. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.